Hey guys, it's Nikki
and Heather,
and we're your host, Murder Shows and Comfy Clothes. Bum bum. we are back a little late.
Good again.
Yeah, that's right. You threw me all off. Now I'm thinking about his performance at the Super Bowl. I just love him no matter what day and age it is.
I know, right?
Yeah, but that was pretty fucking epic. As we all
know. I'm on the fence about that.
Bitch, let me hold on though. Let me tell you how the fuck this played out for us. So we go out to mom's to watch Super Bowl with her and Ralph, whatever. And you know, we're in the boondocks. Well, naturally, everybody and their mom is watching Super Bowl. Literally, Snoop Dogg comes out, starts to perform, blackout. We lose power.
Oh, hell no.
Miss the entire thing. I have to watch it on fucking YouTube. Yes, because it's not even recording anymore because it was a total blackout. Like, so nothing is on. Oh my God. It was awful. I was like, really? Like, Snoop Dogg just shut the city down. It was funny though.
That's my boy.
I know, right? But anyway, completely off topic. yeah, we're back. A little late. And I think my doggie's coming down the stairs. There's my baby.
I have one behind me. I'm sure one will be coming soon.
Hey, love. Get up here.
By the way, we're doing a Zoom call because we couldn't get our shit together and get together.
Come on. Yeah, I'm swamped with work and finals and all that fun stuff. I'm super behind in life. It's kicking my ass, but we're making do. And I said we would do this Monday, so we are going to get this done and get it out there. And then next week, do another one. Hopefully, we're not late on that one.
Well, the thing is, though, you know, I got a job. So I can just come to your house every other Monday after work.
Oh, look at you. Ain't you fancy?
You know, right?
You fancy.
Welcome to the big girl world.
That's right. That's right.
To death.
Yeah, you'd be good. You'll be fine. Oh, she's gone. Just like that. She left me. Nosy. Come here, Rosie. Come here.
Because it's too damn cold down there.
Yeah, she's a shithead. Anyway, so we today are going to jump into another case that is located at the Potosi Correctional Center. Heather, jump into our disclosure because yet again I forgot that.
All right, let me find it.
Ring.
Oh.
Ring ring.
Oh, sorry, y'all.
Ring ring. You know what you get with us. It's all chaos. And right.
I don't know what the fuck that, I mean, I know what it was, but I don't know who it was. Okay. So quick disclaimer. We are not experts nor detectives. All information in today's episode is public knowledge and personal opinions. We talk murder and have very foul mouths. Listener discretion is highly advised.
Yeah. We got to remember to start doing that before we start talking, because I'm pretty sure we dropped like 5 F-bombs before we even said
that. Right. Yeah. What the hell? Why is my phone acting like it's on crack?
You don't have a silent? Silence.
Let me silence this shit. All right. Let's see how that works.
All right. So today we are going to jump into another case at Potosi Correctional Center. Inmate number 990101, Robert Schaefer. Robert was sentenced to death row back in 1990 for the deaths of Jerry Parker and Denny Young. He was 19 years old at the time of his sentencing. Just quick little backstory on Robert himself. He was born August of 1970 in Salina, Kansas. Now, his upbringing wasn't the greatest, which it kind of trickles throughout the story that you find out. A lot of things happened, which we will dive into. I'm just going to try to place them correctly along the timeline. But he was raised by his mother, who was in turn, she was raised in an orphanage by Catholic nuns. His father was in the army, so he wasn't necessarily always around a lot. They moved around a lot really before he was even born, they seemed to move around a lot. So that seems when his dad was really active in the army at that time. So it sounds like from years to come, he wasn't really around a whole lot.
Whale. Whale. Well, hello, Loki Low.
Are you want to make an appearance, Loki? You just disrespecting our podcast? Oh, see, just like a damn kid. They just got to be known. So anyway, his father was in the army. They moved around a lot, it seemed like, before he was born. Things kind of settled down a little bit where they settled, I guess, in Salina, Kansas, where he was born. It's said that his mother wasn't very loving. She didn't have a whole lot of motherly instincts. However, he was the 9th child of 11 children. So
that's fucking nuts.
Yeah. So he was
had too much time on their hands.
He was the 6th of 6 boys. So 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. So that means 5 girls, 6 boys. I don't know why I had to count that math on my hands. You know, here we are. And I'm in college.
Right.
So they had a rather large family. I mean, again, it's said that his mother wasn't very loving. She was very strict. And I don't know if by the time, you know, she had just got to him, maybe she had lost all of, you know, the, she just kind of felt defeated. Yeah, exactly. Defeated. I mean, that's a lot of freaking kids. Her husband wasn't around. You know, he was back and forth in the army. I mean, no excuse, but I feel like maybe that's just kind of where she landed, as well as not necessarily, I mean, having a whole lot of love in her life. She was raised in an orphanage, you know, by Catholic nuns, and I don't know from experience, but from words on the street, it's not the nicest of upbringings in the Catholic Church all the time. So I could imagine what that experience was like. It's said, though, that he was a very personable kid.
Back then.
Yeah, they often called him nosy because he always seemed to know what was going on in the neighborhood. His siblings say that, you know, he was the youngest of the boys, so he always seemed to be the one that was blamed for things. He was always getting in trouble. And then he just always had a good, like, outlook, was just like, well, on to the next day, whatever. So it seems like his father passed away in August of 1977. So he would have been what, 17 at that? No. Yeah. 17 at that time, when his father passed away. And he goes on to say that that's kind of where the whole dynamic of his family changed. It's kind of where he changed. He states that the death of his father really changed him, and can kind of be the pinpoint of where it all went wrong for him. I'm freezing. I got to take a drink of my coffee. It's early too, so coffee is allowed. Ooh, I'm freezing. Anyway, so he stated that the death of his father really ultimately is what changed him. His mother began dating another man, so there was resentment there. You know, and I don't think it's uncommon for for a lot of people that when they lose or they take a big hit in their life with something like that at a young age, they, you know, he started doing petty theft things, vandalism. He just started getting in trouble. I thought it was interesting though, because he stated that it was just kind of out of place. But he stated that he had drank alcohol at like 9 years old, that he would take, take the alcohol to his elementary school and would hide and drink it at recess and stuff. But they never elaborated on that. So I was like, I don't know why we threw that in at like nine when we later say this stuff started at about 17 after his dad died. But there was that. Ultimately, it ended up kind of tying in at the end when they unveiled a little bit more into his childhood. And I kind of want to dive into that at the end because I think it's a good topic for us to kind of discuss our opinions. So months before the crime, he had done petty theft stuff. He had served time for basically stealing a car from one of his girlfriends. He ended up getting out of that and being placed on parole. Around the same time, he wasn't happy living with his mother. It wasn't a good situation. It seems like he moved in with his sister, who lived over here in St. Charles. And this is kind of where everything unfolds and how it becomes a Missouri case.
I can't stop yawning. Your voice is putting me to sleep.
Oh, am I soothing?
Yes, you're very soothing. Very soothing.
Listen to my voice. So at this point, he moves in with his sister. He's kind of just babysitting her kids. He's still, you know, he's still young, hitting now 18, 19 at this point. He meets another guy his age named David Steinmeier. They ended up working together. Doggy. Sorry. Is that Pooches?
She wants to get in my lap.
She doesn't. Hi, Poochie Poo. Hi, Pooches.
She's like, I want to be part of this podcast, Mom.
You know, my Facebook memories popped up the other day. It was like, oh gosh, I don't even know, whenever you first got her, and she was a puppy. She was a baby.
Yeah, her 3-month-old pictures.
She's so cute.
Now she's 4.
She's so freaking cute.
She smells the chickens on my sweater.
Does she? Yeah, I see her. She's been rubbing on
them. They haven't got to go outside and see them yet today.
Aww, her baby. You'll
see them after the podcast. Now go away. You're disturbing us.
No. Okay. No, she's like, I'm good. I'm going to stay right here. So he met David. They worked together. They ultimately grew a friendship. They just clicked. I mean, we all know that. We've all had them friends. So they started hanging out. They started partying together. They would do drugs. They would smoke. They would drink. They're young kids. I mean, shit. What did we do at 19, you know?
I was having babies.
Well, I was just enjoying drugs and life, you know. At that time, I think I was in a very unhealthy relationship. But you know, anywho. So he had a plan. No, I'm sorry, David. It's stated that David had a plan to rob these people. Robert claims that he was like, no. And then later that day changed his mind and was like, okay. As the story unravels, I really don't believe a whole lot of what he says. And it ultimately turns out to be just that thought. So April 29th of 1990, Jerry Parker and Denny Young were at Blanchette Landing in St. Charles. So basically our old town, St. Charles, as we know it.
Okay.
So they were down on the landing in St. Charles. Basically just hanging out, drinking outside the car, whatever, just chilling. Robert claims that they kind of like stalked them. It was dark. They were just kind of watching them from a distance. Again, Jerry and Denny were just hanging out, leaning up against the car, drinking, whatever. It's said that they saw them kiss, and they immediately knew that these would be their targets because he thinks, you know, it's just easy to rob homosexuals because they're less likely to fight back. This all spirals from here. So that's his reasoning for why he felt like they were going to be easy to rob. And it spirals from there, and it develops this clear sense of
he's crazy.
He's homophobic.
Crazy. Because well, I know some homosexuals that I wouldn't fuck.
I mean, it's true. Jerry and Denny were older than the boys, it was obvious when the boys approached them, you know, you could see that they looked fairly young. Robert's mugshot, he doesn't look 19, he looks probably 16. They, you know, so they asked the boys, why are you guys out so late? And the boys claimed that they were headed to a girl's house a couple blocks away. They asked if they could have a ride. I mean, obviously, Denny and Jerry said, yeah, sure. I mean, they had, I guess, been drinking whatever. They were probably ready to leave. What is it, ma'am?
She sees a ghost.
What is it? What? Don't you talk back. Don't talk back. What are you doing? Come here. And then she just sits there in silence. Oh, shit. Anyway, so Jerry and Denny, nice enough to give the boys a ride. They start driving around, and they realize the boys are kind of like bullshitting them, and they don't really seem to have a destination. They kind of are just driving in circles. So they pull over. They tell the boys to get out. Once they get out of the car, a scuffle kind of starts. Turns out Robert had a gun with him. But at this point, the gun was not yet loaded. Obviously, Jerry and Denny don't know that. The scuffles are going on. And David gets pinned down. Obviously, these older gentlemen are, overpowering them. So David gets pinned down. Robert pulls out the gun, demands everybody to get back in the car. Again, Jerry and Denny at this point don't know the gun is loaded. Doesn't know the gun isn't loaded. So at this point, they comply and everybody gets back in the car. Once they're back in the car, Robert just basically tells them to drive. He proceeds to then load the gun. So now at this point, Jerry and Denny, you know, now know he's loading the gun. So there's intentions that this could get worse. Robert tells them to pull over. They all get out the car. Again, they begin to struggle. And this is where it gets hard to hear. Jerry began to run away. Robert chased after him, and in his statement he states that he was like stumbling away, and that he wasn't, you know, he was like almost made it seem like, oh, he was just stumbling because he had been drinking. Later come to find out Jerry actually had a bad leg, so you know, this man wasn't really of any threat. He was like 40 something years old. He had a bad leg, he had a bad heart. I mean, he wasn't trying to like harm this kid or nothing. He was just trying to get away. However, once he ran away, Robert fired a shot, and Jerry had stumbled and fell down into the ditch. Robert continued to approach Jerry, and he ended up firing two more shots, hitting Jerry once above the eye and once below the eye, ultimately killing him. He then returned to the car, where David was at the back of the car, and Denny had also taken off in the other direction. But again, it was dark, couldn't really see. So he too had fell in a ditch, and was kind of struggling to get out. And in the pictures that they show, he is wearing flip-flops. So it was wet, it was slippery, and we've all been in a wet flip-flop situation.
I can't fucking walk on them when they're wet.
So
I live in flip-flops.
I know, right? I figured you'd appreciate that. That part of it.
I'll tell you my flip-flop story.
Oh, Lord.
Okay, so we all know I go to Florida quite frequently to see my mom and daddy.
Yes, and I'm coming next time.
So, okay, so when I went in December before I left, Pooch is at ate my flip-flops. It was like, this bitch has done lost her mind, you know, since we've moved. Like, she eats my shoes. I don't know what a fucking deal is. So what does she do? She eats my fucking flip-flops before I leave to go to Florida. I wear flip-flops every day. Rain, shine, snow, it don't matter.
Facts.
So I had no flip-flops to wear to Florida. So I get down to Florida. I couldn't buy here in Missouri because it's fucking December. I get down to Florida. I buy me a new pair of flip-flops. I paid $25 for these fucking flip-flops.
What?
I don't pay that amount of money.
But you can get them for $1 at Old Navy. They better
not in December.
They better flip and flop, motherfucker.
Not in December, you can't. So $25 for these fucking flip-flops. I couldn't find none at Walmart, nothing like that in Florida. Don't know why. I guess there was a shortage. I don't know. I bought them at some roadside thingy. They comfortable as fuck. So the other day, you know where like the part that goes between your toe that goes into the flip-flop, that rips. Okay. So now here I am, back again with no motherfucking flip-flops. And they ain't got none here in Missouri. I ain't driving no 16 hours just to go buy some fucking flip-flops. I can order some off Amazon, but I got to put them on first to see if I like the way they feel. I'm finicky about my flip-flops.
Especially when you live in them.
Right. What I'm going to do about working is going to, I don't know, because, you know, I don't like fucking shoes and I got to wear shoes. So, yeah, so here I am stuck with no flip-flops and only thing I can do is go to Florida and get me some flip-flops, but I don't think the husband. And it's gonna approve me driving 16 hours
and paying $25 for some flip-flops, right. Oh my Lord.
So I have no flip-flops right now, Nikki.
Yeah, we all, if y'all know Heather, that's detrimental. Oh Lord.
Flip-flops and sunglasses are my thing.
Oh Lord. Okay, back to the case.
Sorry, we always get off track.
We always do. That's what makes it fun though.
Tell you, chickens don't like flip-flops.
Really?
No, they peck at your toes and it hurts.
Okay. It's not the flip-flops they don't like. They're just doing their chickenly duties.
They're saying, bitch, go put some shoes on.
They're like,
there's 3 inches of ice on the ground.
Oh Lord. So anyway, he falls in the ditch. Robert goes up and basically does the same thing. He fires one from a distance, causing him to fall again. And again, he walks up to him and shoots two more fatal shots once he is closer. Now it circles back to, you know, why didn't he just leave it alone? They could have took the car and ran off, blah, 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 blah. You know, that's kind of where my thoughts went. But he basically stated that he had already killed Jerry. So he had to kill Denny, because why would he leave Denny to be able to tell what happened? So, you know, just cold-blooded shit, which ultimately gets you first-degree murder. Mm-hmm. So within hours, the boys go to turn themselves in. They had decided that they were going to give the police a story that each of them had killed one, that, you know, David killed one and Robert killed one. They basically were going to claim that there was a homosexual advance made at them, and they basically were going for the self-defense plea. So they were both charged with the murders, each facing potential life sentences. Robert seemed to have really thought that he had like a leg to stand on, because he was literally standing on the fact that, you know, he killed two gay men and they had made an advance at him, and it was just a, you know, how dare they do that, and it was self-defense kind of thing. Again, circling back to, you know, the homosexual part of it, he just seemed like everybody was supposed to understand I killed these two gay men because they were gay and they tried to touch me.
I saved them from everybody.
Right. Exactly. Like, oh, it's okay. It's okay, guys. I saved
everybody from them.
Yeah, it's okay. They were gay, guys. Like, don't worry about it. Turns out, though, about 3 years later, Robert was found guilty of both the murders. He ultimately ended up confessing in 1992. To the police that he was responsible for both of the murders. However, when he did this, he confessed and he waived his right to an attorney. He pled guilty and he requested the death penalty. I'm talking so much. This keeps going out. That's pointless. I was trying to smoke a cigarette, but it wasn't working. My mommy's gonna yell at me. Anyway,
I'm telling.
It's okay. She'll listen to this like a year from now and be like, "Oh." Anyway, after confessing,
she'll scream at you a year from now. You know how our mothers are.
I know she will. So he ultimately waived his right to an attorney. He asked for the death penalty. The judge gave him the death penalty. But by doing this, he avoided trial. So by confessing, he was able to basically go straight to the judge. This did not have to go in front of a jury, in front of, you know, public record, anything like that. So full details were never released. They never came out in court. So no one even really knew that he had confessed to killing both of them. So it goes on to, you know, the families, years and years later, listening to the stories and everything, and he was still claiming that he only killed one of them and all this stuff up until about 2014, when Jerry's nephew wrote a letter to Robert basically stating that they forgave him for his actions. They basically looked at it as, you know, he was 19, he served 28 years in prison for his actions. He's not the same person that he was the night that he made that decision, blah, 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 blah. And ultimately that they had found peace with the situation and they forgave him. Now, when he wrote this letter, Robert states that it basically was the push for him to finally write his full confession to, I guess, the public, because the police had already known, but I guess his full confession to the family and to the public. He proceeds to go on and write the confession stating what happened, why he did it, and everything like that to the family. And yeah, just finally said, I'm the one that did it. However, in, let's see, back when he confessed in 1992, And he received the death penalty. He immediately filed an appeal. That appeal was basically based off the fact that he did not understand he was waiving his rights. And in 2004, a court decided that it was true. Whatever reason they decided, he deserved it. And they reduced his sentence to life without parole. Now it goes on to later say, David ended up serving 11 years for his part in the situation. And ultimately, I don't think that David really had anything to do with it. I mean, I don't think he should have served. And this is Robert's fault that he did, because Robert did not own his actions. And David suffered the consequences of it, because whether David was in on the robbery and everything, it's Robert who did everything. And then you're telling me hours later, they go and confess that they did this. And then two years later, Robert confesses to everything. So I don't know. I feel like David should have kind of been released at that point, but
he was in on it. I mean, I know he didn't do anything, but he was in on it. Pick a better friend.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I mean, I agree. He should have served some time, but I don't know. I just feel like,
I think 11 years was good.
You think?
I do. First of all, you shouldn't have lied. You should have just came forward and said, I didn't do shit. I was there, but I didn't do shit. You got like 5 years. But you didn't. You lied.
Stitches get stitches.
I'd rather get, your mama just commented on something on Facebook. Oh, Lord. So I was thinking she was listening to us, but she's not, because we're not even live. So. Yeah, I understand stitches. I mean, snitches get dicks. Fuck. Snitches get stitches and end up in ditches. But he could have been like, oh, yeah, dude, I'll act like, you know, I killed one of them. And then go in there in that little room and sang like a canary. That's what I would have done.
That's what you would have done?
I'd have sang like a fucking canary.
Lord have mercy.
And I'd have taken my time for being being there with him, but he didn't. He lied, so he deserved something.
This is true. So here's where and they always do this to me. They always make me feel one way and then switch it up on me. And this one was no different. It goes back to state, and this one for me is still on the fence, because it just it shows that, you know, things in your past can affect, but it also shows the mentality that he carried with him as an adult ultimately made these decisions. So leading into that, we discussed that he moved in with his sister, who lived in St. Charles. Now, it's said that he lived with her for about like 6 to 9 months before the crime happened.
Right.
This leads me to feel like, okay, I'm going to hold on to that tic-tac because I'm not going to say that yet. So they go on to say that his, circling back to his childhood, there was a man on their block who basically was a child molester. And that he would have boys in the neighborhood come over, play video games, and perform sexual acts for money. He would both have them perform them on him, and he would perform them on them. A childhood friend of Robert's states that they never really discussed details with one another, but he knows that they were both being paid, and that Robert was making more money than him. It was kind of sad to watch because the way this man describes it, he just kind of is like, oh, well, I thought he just did it better than me. That's why he made more money. Ha 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 ha. And I'm just like, it's really sad because while it didn't affect this man in the way that it affected Robert, as far as like murdering somebody, it's still the fact that this man is just like, oh, well, this is what it was. And that's just life. Like, I must not have been as good at it. I'm like, okay, that's sad.
Like, he was kind of like, if I remember right, because it's been a hot minute since I watched that episode, but he was kind of like upset still that Robert made more money, right?
I mean, he did. He was just kind of like, it must have been worse for Robert than it was for me. You know, because I was only doing this with, you know, a condom on and making $75, and David would make $150 or $200. So I don't know. It was very eerie feeling all the way around.
Yeah.
But my dog is back. I don't know what the hell she is doing over here. So it turns out that this apparently had been going on for quite some time. And they say that his mother and stuff would chastise him as a child, even their other siblings, calling them faggots and things like that. I don't know that she knew something was happening or if it's just because she, you know, she thought that they had tendencies. And, you know, in the Catholic situation, that's not a thing. Like, we are not allowed to feel or do these kind of things. So I don't know if she knew something or whatever, but it's, you know, it's said that throughout his childhood she would chastise him and call him a faggot and everything like that, and right, he would seek out multiple girls, multiple, you know, women, and just basically have multiple partners to kind of make himself feel like, you know, he wasn't gay, like,
right,
I'm not gay, you know, this is happening to me, but I like women and all this stuff. But ultimately it was destroying him on the inside. And I think this bred a lot of resentment for the gay community. I think that he held on to this resentment, and ultimately he moved with his sister in St. Charles. And I think he had seen these men before, or he had seen these men before and he knew that they were gay. And I think that he might have had some kind of, you know, flashback or whatever, and just thought that that was what they should do, is rob this gay couple. And I think that they were targeted because they were gay. I don't think this was a random thing. I think he knew who he was targeting, and I think he knew why he was targeting them. I don't think it was anything as far as an innocence. I think it was fully premeditated.
I don't think they tried hitting on him or anything like that.
No, I feel like it was I feel like it was completely fueled out of hatred.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It was kind of hard to watch because it doesn't seem like he even still owns that aspect. He doesn't own that aspect at all. He doesn't own that it had anything to do with him being gay. He still, you know, makes it seem like it was just a random act. But I'm not buying that. I don't believe it. I think it was not random. I think it was solely because he knew these two men were gay. And I think he has a very homophobic resentment. And then when things kind of went south, I don't know that he necessarily intended to kill them. He definitely intended to rob them.
Right.
And then when things went south, it was just kind of a, well, whatever, they're gay. Like, I shot them because when things went south, I mean, I don't want, you know, these faggots, because he kept saying like faggots. They just kept saying that word was like a trigger for him.
Right.
And, you know, back then it was kind of, that's what they were, you know, that was a derogatory term for them. And I think that's ultimately what the trigger was, is he thought they were gay, and it just brought up all the stuff that he had went through in his childhood.
I couldn't imagine calling my child.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. And like I said, I think in his childhood, I don't know if his mother knew something, or if she sensed maybe, you know, tendencies or whatever the case was. And then he felt like he just had to fight twice as hard to accommodate, you know, the feeling of what she was saying to him versus him being like, no, I'm not.
Right.
And that bred the resentment for, you know, the gay community. Not only that, but he's being molested by a man who, I mean, is taking his innocence from him in a very fucked up manner.
Right.
So yeah. So overall, I think that he should still be serving the death penalty. I don't agree with the change. I think that had he have confessed and did all this and went to trial, he'd have been given the death penalty. Had he not waived his rights, had he not misunderstood what he was giving up, had he went to trial,
he didn't misunderstand.
No, not at all. Had he went to trial, he would have been convicted, because right. At that point, it goes from kidnapping, when you tell these guys to get in the car or whatever, after you wave a gun at them, you're now trespassing into kidnapping. Okay, fine. Right. We could still get out of the car. Maybe nothing would have happened. These guys may not have ever said anything. You may have never gotten in trouble for this. But now in your mind, not only that, they gave you two chances to pull over and just walk away. You had two chances to think about your actions.
Yep.
They took off running. They were not trying to stay there. They were not trying to fight. They took off in the opposite directions. You and him could have gotten that car and drove away. You have thought about your actions. You have thought about what you were doing, and you killed these people. You don't deserve life in prison. You deserve the death penalty. And that's where I stand on it.
Me too. But so, didn't, like, at one point in time, he say he wanted the death penalty?
He asked the judge for the death penalty. And then and then 2 weeks later, appealed it.
I don't feel that you should be able to say, hey, I fucked up. Can you kill me? I don't like that.
Well.
And I know it's cheaper just, you know, to do whatever and not go to trial, and blah, blah, blah. But I think all the motherfuckers should have to go to trial.
I think that if we can look at everything, I mean, I understand the trials and stuff can be expensive, but if we, as, you know, a judge or whatever, like, if they can sit down and look at everything and all the stuff that would be presented in a trial, because that's basically what they, you know, what they go over, each side still pleads their case. It's just to a judge, not a jury. I mean, I think the judge should be able to make that decision of the death.
Well, yeah, but I don't think it's right that they can say, oh, well, you know, can I have the death penalty? Because right there, you're giving up. I mean, you know, you're giving them the easy way out, because they know they're going to get killed or murdered, whatever. I don't want to say killed, but they know that they're going to, you know, get the death penalty. So, you know, it's just a matter of time of having to deal with it. And then you get executed.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it does. It definitely, by asking for it, I definitely see how it's like the cowardly route.
Right.
Like saying, I just would rather go to the death sentence, whatever. But I think too, he did so in the sense that he, I think, maybe thought the judge would take pity and be like, well, he's confessing and he's asking for the death penalty, so he knows he did wrong. So instead of death penalty, let me go ahead and grant life without parole. I think that he thought that his pity party would be portrayed to the judge as such, that, oh, I know I did wrong. I deserve to die for my actions. You know, and I think that he didn't think he was going to get the fucking death penalty. I think he thought, you know, the judge was just going to be like, oh, I see the sorrow, and let me just give you life without, or life, whatever. And go from there. And then once he realized he did get the death penalty, he was like, oh shit, let me appeal this real quick.
Right. I don't know. I just think, you know, it's like the whole situation. Do you want to stand in the corner or do you want your ass busted?
I think I'm going to go to the corner.
Nah, you're going to get your ass busted.
Oh my gosh. It was so, did I ever tell you about that with,
yes, that's what I was saying, you know,
with the fan, the fan situation, the string, the cord on my fan in my bedroom. She was trying to, she was trying to turn the fan off because it was cold. And so she stood up on the bed and she pulled the string. Well, you know, they're just the little latch beads. Well, it came undone. Right. So the latch like came off and she's got the little hanging thing in her hand.
Oh, shit.
And she comes out the bedroom and she goes, I think I'm just going to put myself in the corner. I said, what did you do? And she's like holding the thing and she's like, it was cold and I was trying to turn the fan off. And I was like, oh my, I was like, I didn't even know how to react. I'm like, she straight just said, I'm going to put myself in the corner. I was like, yeah, you should definitely go to the corner.
Nicole, she didn't mean to do that. That should, she should have had to go to the corner.
Okay, but she should have said, hey, can you come turn the fan off for me? So yeah, she should have went to the corner. She didn't get an ass whooping because. But she still deserved to know that she should have asked. So, yes, she had to go to the corner.
That's true. That's true. You better leave my baby alone.
She's so funny. She's so funny. She was getting dropped off.
That's what I'm saying. You know, they should. You shouldn't come up to us. Hey, do you want to ask for the death penalty or you want to ask for life? No, motherfucker. You don't get the choice.
Yeah. I could agree with that, though. I could.
The same kindergarten.
Oh, well.
We're going to pick for you.
Yeah. I do think, but I don't know. I mean, if they plead guilty though, that's ultimately what they want. So they don't have to pay for a trial. So, you know, the whatever county, state don't have to pay for that. And that's ultimately what they want the person to do, is to plead guilty and say, hey, this is what's going to happen to you or whatever. But anyway, so that's our case for today.
I think they let us run the judicial system. How do you say that word?
Bitch, I'm trying.
Speaking of that, I brought home some books because my girlfriend, you know, Kristen, she has a major in whatever the hell you're going to school for. So I brought home some books that she had when she was, she has masters, I'm sorry, when she was doing her schooling and shit.
Yeah.
One's about organized crime and I don't remember the other one, but
I get
we was cleaning out her basement.
I'm excited. I want all of it. I want all of it.
There was some couple good books. I brought them home for us to look at.
I had a book for my first class that I had taken, and I rented it off Amazon. And it was like when I did the class, I was, you know, so focused on like finding the answers for the questions and stuff. Mm-hmm. I didn't really, but it had so much information in it. I ended up paying the $90 to keep the fucking book because I want to go back and read it. And I'm like, you know, I want to actually know this stuff versus just skimming over it to find the answer.
Right. I think see if Peyton has any of his books too.
So it's super fun just to read and just learn the stuff. But I'm in this culture tourism class right now. And man, it is kicking my ass. But I get to start criminology. Ooh, I'm so excited. That is like my ultimate where I want to be. I want to go down like that path. So I get to do criminology.
Okay. So what is criminology? Like, what are you going to school for? Like,
so
in my head.
Overall, the, criminal justice branches off into multiple things.
Right.
So starting at the criminal justice aspect of it, it opens the door to different avenues, working for the county or working for the FBI or this, you know, like you can branch off into all these different things. And if you want to branch off into criminology, which is like the science department of it, you can, you already have this footing to do so. So you can branch off your majors into particular things. But overall, like I want to get into caseworking and understanding the system and how it works, and more so the justice system of doing right, not doing dirty. So it just branches off into so many different things that you can expand on. It's a matter of what you want to do with
like
it.
Like what she did is like she worked for the feds and she worked for the state, you know, just in different times. And like she was the caseworker for like, because she would go in and interview the incoming inmate or whatnot, and stuff like that. So is that what you're talking about?
Or? Yeah, it's like ultimately caseworking falls more along the line of, you know, somebody who is in jail for a freaking drug charge, you know, doesn't mean they're a bad freaking person.
Right.
You know, and you have to ultimately, you have a lot of decisions in your hands for these people's lives. You decide their probation, you decide their parole, you know, you play all them aspects into the system.
Like a weird, crazy fucking story.
Yeah.
I mean, one, like she was interviewing the guy. He had I wonder if I remember right, he caught the bed on fire. His wife was in bed asleep and he caught the bed on fire.
He told her
something along the lines of, I burnt her and her fucking dog. It was completely okay with it.
Oh my Lord.
He's like, yeah, I burnt her to death and her fucking dog.
Oh my gosh. But see, and that's like, you know, that's
you know, the stories, you know, you don't really know a whole lot about them until, you know, they come in, you know, and just like, you know, they could be like normal as fuck or crazier than hell.
Right. And the criminology side of it is more the scientific side, as far as understanding the science behind the blood and the trajectory, you know, like the forensic criminology side is a huge interest of mine. However, it's a lot of math and science. Not my strong suit. I had to count 6 + 5 on my fingers. Today
that's because you got a Hazelwood school district education.
Hey, we just Lindenwood just became a D1 again, so our athletics and everything, we are going to now be considered a D1 college. So the NCAA, our sports and athletic division and everything is like highly accredited now. So we are going to be official bona fide.
Right. You know, when you made that post yesterday,
not quite Harvard, but
when you made that post yesterday about, you know, do this shit when you're young, not when you're in your 30s. Fuck, I only went for phlebotomy in 2018, and that was like a 9-week course. And I every day sitting there study, I'd be thinking the same thing. Why the fuck did I wait until my fucking 30s to do this shit?
Man,
it's so hard, guys.
It's so hard. And if you are young and listening, I cannot stress enough, do not take advantage of what you have in front of you. Do this shit now, because when you wake up fucking 34 and realize I have a great job, but if all else fails, I don't have a leg to stand on.
Right.
And
I was very, very lucky, because when I went back to be a phlebotomist, I was able to quit my job, and my grandmother, you know, helped me and everything along the way, so I could do nothing but focus on my 9-week phlebotomy course. I mean, you know, and I graduated, you know, second in the class or whatever and stuff like that, but there would have been no way. If
no, it's trying to it's raise three kids hard. And I've tried, you know, the not your, because your mom had asked me how many credits am I taking per semester or whatever. And
we don't know, don't even listen to her, because how that woman, you know, she's fucking Einstein's.
And I need her.
Right. Janet, because, I mean, like, you know,
when you hear it, next time you hear, hey guys, it's Nicole, listen to this episode, because I, are we still stuck on her car?
She did her CPA accounting, whatever the hell she is. She did that, was working like two full-time jobs or some bullshit when I was a kid, and taking 12 credit hours or some shit like that. I need
her knowledge.
And raising us three kids single. And was able, but you know how she is. She's above and beyond extra. There ain't no way.
Yeah, it's intense. It's super intense. So kids, stay in school, get your shit done.
Go to college as soon as you get out of high school.
Yes, because this is not, and it's funny because, you know, so many times I reflect like, God, if I only knew then what I know now. I thought,
My gosh, my life is so hard. Oh my God, I hate it here.
And I'm like, bitch, if you only knew, this adulting shit is overrated. And it
and
is
don't horrible. And don't do like me and go to school for go to college for a year and be like, I'm gonna take a year off, I'll go back.
That's what I'm trying to just stay focused. Like,
I didn't go back. I'm telling myself, I could have been a mortician by now.
Well, and no, I'm a stupid my phlebotomist. Thing is like, okay, I realized three full classes is a little much for me. It's super hard to balance. But three classes a semester is what keeps me on track for, you know, the 3 to 4 years, whatever, of graduation. That is not going to work for me. Working 40 hours a week, raising kids, it's just not going to work. So I have to drop it down to where I'm taking like one class in an accelerated course and then two classes later in the semester. So I'm still getting my 9 credits, but that one class that I'm taking is accelerated and it's extra fucking hard. And that's what I'm going through right now. I'm in this accelerated cultural tourism class that has to be done in an 8-week period.
Right.
And I'm just like, it's essay after essay. And I'm just like, oh my God, can we please get to the next courses?
Right. Because I mean, mine wasn't, the phlebotomy was accelerated and I didn't have nothing, near what you have to do in that hard at 30 some odd years old.
It's intense. It's super intense. But it's also intense because the class that I'm taking is ultimately an in-person class. It just recently transitioned into online COVID class since all this COVID stuff, and she has not adjusted her curriculum. And it's still based off of, like, if I was taking this class, if I was able to go on campus and take this class, I would enjoy it. Because it's really cool learning about, I mean, we're learning about cultures from, you know, way back when, tribes that are unknown and heritage of these tribes and, you know, the slavery stuff that they experience. It's really cool to learn and experience this stuff, but to have to research it and then write an 8-page essay in 4 days is insane.
I'd have failed the first day.
And honestly, I went through panic mode and was like, I'm going to fail this fucking class. It's going to be so atrocious. I even reached out to my advisor and was like, what happens if I fail this class? What does it mean? Mm-hmm. Bitch, I'm not going to toot my own horn, but right now, your girl is sitting with a perfect grade. Okay.
Girl, you go.
Okay. So I don't know. I got to do this final though. So let me not toot too hard.
But still, I mean, even if you don't ace the final, you'll still pass, right?
Yeah. I mean, well, I need to at least get a B on my final to maintain,
So as of Monday, this class is done and over with, though, right?
Adios, motherfucker.
All right.
So. Yeah, good. March 1st, our final grades get submitted. So
Tuesday, not Monday.
Yeah. But any hoot and nanny, we appreciate you all. We love you listening. My phone's dying. Did you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, What do we got? Comfy fact. Let's do that real quick before we get out of here.
Okay. So I got two. Oh my God, all this drainage from these allergies, sinuses, whatever. Okay. In 2021, there were at least 56 fatalities in the LGBT community that were reported in the United States. Okay. And then the LGBT people are nearly four times more likely than non-LGBT people to experience violent victimization. Why can't we just leave the LGBT people alone?
You know, why can't we leave them alone? Why can't we leave different races alone? Like, what do we care? Who cares?
Right. But, you know, we were raised in a different...
Yeah, and I mean, it also, you know, like you said, that plays a huge role in it. The way, right. You know,
even like the people, I gotta whisper, but you know, even the weird people out here, you know, it's 2022 and we're still, like you get out here, because, you know, it's been a minute since I've been in the county, but out here, like, you know, we have all colors of people, all different flavors of people, whatever. And I mean, you know, I'm cool with everybody. I don't give a shit who you are, what you are, pink, purple, orange, blue, you swing backwards, frontwards, I don't care. But I can see, like, out here in this little town, when different people are out, I can see, like, they get stared at and people comment on them. And it's like,
yeah,
what the fuck is it any of your business what they are, who they are, what color they are? You know, go about your shit. Fuck people alone.
And we kind of went through it. I mean, hell, just yesterday, Adam and I went out to lunch and, you know, we were kind of the only people. There was only like us and two other couples in the restaurant. And there was an older, you know, white couple that was kind of sitting catty corner to us. And they kind of had, you know, like a little draw to them, like a little Southern draw. So, you know, right. I just got to think kind of their age frame, you know, based on their accents, they probably were raised a different way. I mean, not to stereotype, but it based on the way that the actions followed, it kind of makes you feel that way. Like, still, here we are, just yesterday, like you said, 2022, we're out to lunch. You know, Adam's getting up out there, you know, smiles at him, hey, good morning. And they didn't acknowledge him. They didn't speak. And I'm just like, Adam was like, wow. Okay. You know, I mean, that was just kind of the vibe that they gave off. And it's like, I mean, how are we still here?
Right.
Just,
and I mean, everyone, I don't want to say everyone's judgmental, because, you know, me and Scott are like 12 years apart, and they say, you know, people see me and him walking in together hand in hand, and they're like looking at us like, you know, I mean, because obviously we look, you know, quite a bit age difference, and you know, just the judgment that you get or that we get. And it's like, okay, it's an old guy and a younger girl, what does it matter, you know?
Right.
People are too, I don't know, they need to fucking stop being so,
mind their business, extra. Live your life, worry about what pays your bills.
Right
But anyway,
I don't give two fucks.
Yeah, it's early.
I'm nice to you.
Yep, it's early. I'm gonna type up my paper, hopefully be at 8 pages so I don't have to continue it. And if I am at 8 pages, I can submit it earlier and have 2 days off to not have to worry about anything. Because my next class starts March 10th. So I'll have a little bit of lead time where I don't have nothing going on. I'm hoping Adam hits the grill today and gets some barbecue in, because it's nice. And yeah, that's where we're
got like 3 inches of ice on the ground out here.
It's still, yeah, like my back porch isn't defrosted yet. Loki's still standing out there with cold feet, but you know, whatever.
Shit, we walking on ice, like my big old ass. It doesn't even fall through.
Mm-mm. All right.
No
well,
footprints from the dog's nutting.
Oh, guys, we tried to get a visitor on this episode, but she was being a bum. So if she listens to this, we tried.
Yes, Stacy.
Stacy. I'm
gonna call the bitch out.
Stacy. Right.
I tried to do a little video chat with the three of us, and that bitch pushed busy.
Busy. Denied. Straight up. Anyway, denied. We're gonna try to get her on here for one of these episodes, bring the gang back together. Yeah, so I don't know. We'll see you guys next week.
On the 9th.
On the 9th.
Right? Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, I just bounced off what you said.
Hold up. Okay, so let me look at the calendar. So today is what? The 27th. So we were supposed to air on the 23rd, but we did not. So we do not air on the 2nd, so we air on the 9th. So I will be visiting your palace on the 7th. Whoop, whoop. It's been a minute since I've been down there.
I'll make sure that our complaint gets submitted to the higher up.
Yes, please.
We had to file a complaint today with our fellow studio sharer. I come down here and the fucking studio is trashed. There's tequila bottles, cigarettes, you know. So we
shit sent all over the desk.
Yeah, we sent a nice little complaint to our higher ups.
I just want to be able to have tequila when we're doing our podcast. I mean,
I'm about to go up there and be like, well, thanks for the pack of cigarettes that you lost. He was so mad. He thought the guy at the gas station ripped him off. No.
Lord have mercy.
Goof troop. You left him down here. Anyway, guys.
A goof troop.
He is a goof troop. So we love y'all.
Where are we airing at?
What do you mean?
You ain't said what we air on lately.
Oh, we are.
Oh, sorry, puppy. I didn't mean to run you over with the lawn chair. I mean, the computer chair.
We are on Spotify. We are on Apple. We are on Google. We are on Stitcher. We are on Facebook. Murder Shows and Comfy Clothes Podcast. We do have a website that has all of our merch up. www.murdershowsandcomfyclothes.com. Yeah. Instagram, I still am not hip on. Murder Shows and Comfy Clothes Podcast on TikTok.
Ooh, we're two away from 400 followers.
Ooh, look at us.
I know, right?
I know. I'm excited. There was a post done for a lady who had a list of podcasts, and I added our name.
And
she's like,
I put
you on my list. I'm like, thank you.
Yeah, I'm a bad girl. I still can't comment in groups for like another 15 days.
Oh my God, you're always in jail.
Well, you know, we're a free world, or a free whatever we are.
What's his Zuckerberger, whatever his name is? He don't agree.
Well, he needs to, because when people call their wives whores, they need to be told to go punch their fucking husbands in the face.
They probably got blocked, so they didn't even see your comment, and now you're in jail.
They didn't. So I had to send it in a message. A messenger. I don't like it.
Nobody puts baby in the corner.
Right. I don't like it when husbands say bad things to their wives. I don't care if they're going through a separation or divorce or not. You don't talk to a woman that way. So therefore you need to be punched in the fucking face. And that's what gets you kicked off Facebook, when you tell them to do that. And so I got blocked out of groups for 30 days.
Well, oh well, you know, give it a week. She'll be kicked
out.
I'll
be in Facebook jail again. They're going to end up suspending my subscription or whatever the hell.
Subscription. Heather's going to have to create her own Outlook.
It's going to be called like Gaddy something. I don't know.
Gaddy's
no
voice.
Rules.
Right, no rule.
You can tell people to punch their husbands in the fucking face for being retarded. Our wives in the fucking face for being retarded.
Oh,
they call them bad names.
I cannot with you.
All right, well, I'm gonna go get some bedding for my chickens.
Okay, well, check us out, guys, on all of our sources. Like I said, Stitcher, Google, Spotify, Apple. Check us out. Give us a listen. Give us a like. Keep us going. And we're going to do better and be better. But, you know, I'm trying to be smart and build a life. So, you know, sometimes we fuck up. But either way, we'll be back around, you know. Just keep your ears open. Watch for the post.
Right.
When we got them, we'll post them. We love you guys. Thank you for everything. Until next time, stay comfy.
Don't get murdered.